Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, it's WTIC, and every once in a while a guy comes along who is just doing things that need to be done, who is providing information that is not normally provided, and who is, I don't know, providing just an understanding, because that's what we're always looking for, is an understanding. And Kevin Brookman is one of those guys. He's got a blog called We the People, and he joins us now on WTIC, which he's done in the past, but it's been a while. Kevin, good to have you back.
Yeah, it's been a while. Good to talk to you, Todd. Thank you.
So you did some writing on a very interesting topic recently, one that people are wondering about a lot, and that is the Boston Consulting Group and a couple $1 million being spent to bring in outsiders from Massachusetts to tell the governor how to manage the COVID shutdown. You've done some investigating. What have you discovered?
Well, it raised my interest because Boston Consulting Group probably has about as much experience in reopening the state after a pandemic as you or I do. So I was kind of surprised that they spent the money. And then yesterday, in yesterday's Current, I saw an article that the Senate Minority Leader, Len Fasano, was trying to get a copy of the contract. And even through FOI, it wasn't being given to him by the governor's office, according to the newspaper report. Well, okay. When I started looking into it, I called one of my sources at the Capitol, and they said, oh, yeah, I've got that. I can email it to you right away. And within 5 minutes, I had the contract. And there are some surprising things in there, the secrecy and the no media disclosure, things like that, which the governor should know this is government. You can't do those things. Everything that goes through his office should be transparent and open to FOI requests.
And but this seems to be a common theme coming out of the governor's office. He loves secrecy.
Unfortunately, it is. It was the same thing with the Dalio Group. They did something to set it up so they could skirt the FOI regulations and be able to do all that in secrecy. Now, Ned Lamont has a real credibility issue as far as I'm concerned, because he started off his first campaign ad was a television ad with him in his car saying, I'm a common guy. I'm just going to use my own car. I don't need a state vehicle. If you elect me governor, I don't need a state car. The first thing he did the day he was sworn in is break out the state SUV with the troopers driving him everywhere he goes. Then we had the no toll promise. Well, we saw how that went. And there's just been so many things that you have to question what he's doing and does he really understand the truth. And it's hard to get the little peasants to follow the king if they don't trust in them. And I think there's a real credibility issue and a lack of trust on the part of the governor.
Well, so you're a real street-level Hartford guy. Are you saying that what you hear in the city is that people aren't believing and aren't trusting Ned?
I don't think a lot of people really, you know, I've got health issues, so I've tried to do the best I can with the recommendations to stay healthy. But you've got to start wondering, does this one-size-fit-all philosophy work? It's, you know, when we talked to somebody, I told them, I've got a customer here in Hartford. It's a very large restaurant, the Chowder Pot. And they were unable to reopen, and they had to put tables out in the parking lot. Now, nobody's going to go spend $40 or whatever it is for a nice lobster dinner with I-91 zipping by on one side and sewer plant blowing the wind across the parking lot from the other side.
Blows the ambiance, doesn't it?
Yeah, to kind of, you know, ruined your appetite, I think. But he's got large banquet rooms there. He could put tables 30 feet apart and still be able to accommodate a large number of people with the social distancing. And, you know, my barbershop, it's a small barbershop up in Windsor Locks. You know, many times I go in there and I'm the only one coming in. There is a bench out front. If they had too many people, they could sit outside. But why is it that, you know, you can't go in and get a haircut? It's not like Supercuts at the mall or something that's loaded with people. You're one person. And I think a lot of this should be left up to the local health authorities to say, okay, the chowder pot is situated fine, so let's let them open. It makes sense to get 100 people back to work. Instead, we have the blanket policy that shut everything down, nothing moves, nothing opens, no restaurants, nobody's working, nobody's collecting paychecks. It just, it makes no sense.
It truly doesn't make sense, and nobody can figure it out, and nobody understands why this is the government policy to do things that make no sense, to argue that you're just trying to be provide consistent regional policy, so you want to have your hair salons open the same time Gina Raimondo's doing Rhode Island, and then you ignore other things that don't correspond. It's all, just hear a lot of nonsense coming down, Kevin.
But the other part is the flip-flops. To tell hairdressers and barbershops, okay, you can open, but you can't do blow-drying. And then to yank the carpet out from under them 2 days before and say, oh, I changed my mind, you're not going to open. No, but by the way, when you do open, blow-drying is acceptable. You know, what is it? If it's based in science or some factual basis, make a decision, stick by it, tell the people why you did it, and hopefully they'll
agree. But the question is, Kevin, how can it be based in science if the different states are following different policies? We're going to talk more with Kevin Brookman coming up. Visit wethepeoplehartford.com. Continuing with Kevin Brookman, what else struck you about this document? You actually got your hands on the contract between the state and the Boston Consulting Group.
Right.
What are the most surprising things in there?
Well, one of the biggest surprising things to me was the source from the Capitol that turned it over to me. They said, well, you know why that contract was issued? And I was like, no, why? And, you know, I haven't verified all this, so I'm not going to go into specifics with names, but they said, look at who's on the governor's committee to reopen the state. And you might find an interesting name on that committee that also used to work for Boston Consulting Group. There's your connection. And, you know, it's unfortunate that the local media, they write a story about this document not being turned, a public document, not being turned over to Senator Fasano, but they don't go to dig up the document themselves and publish it to say, here's what's in there. And that's what I did. I posted the PDF file of the entire letter, the cover letter, the contract, as it was given to me, and that's on the blog for people to go read it. But it's just.
But isn't it possible that you're just a better connected reporter of Hartford politics, and that you're able to get something that other reporters aren't able to?
But why, Todd? This is not my profession. It's not a full time job for me.
I don't know, but you're. You just seem to have a connection for everything.
Well, I'm not complaining about that, but it's just, you know, government should be much more open. If they want us to believe and follow what they do, they can't hide behind these, you know, clauses in contracts that, oh, this is not to be divulged to the media, this is not to be a public document. It has to be. That's what the law requires.
Well, that's a really powerful point, and that's the real thing, I think, to challenge the media on. The media is supposed to be there representing this kind of imaginary extra wing of government where there is a supervisory profession that holds them to certain standards, and the transparency is fundamental. If you don't have transparency, the media is not effective, and if the media is not effective, the government can't be held to account because the people don't have the information. And I would say that's an epidemic in the state of Connecticut, Kevin.
Well, I think, and one of the other big things that really concerns me is the amount being done, whether it's New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, the amount that's being done with legislation that isn't having any public airing. It's just things being done because we're in an emergency pandemic, laws are being changed. The legislature wanted to go in and do one blanket vote and pass everything that was before the legislature before they went out of session. And you and I, you know as well as I do, anything they're forcing through under these emergency conditions very likely are going to be permanent. They're not going to roll these things back when the virus goes away. It's going to be a way of forcing legislation through without the public having any say in what's happening. And it's unfortunate. That's not the way the system.
Sure, which, by the way, is one of the big motivators, we have to assume, for extending artificially this lockdown. It gives them more time politically to convert the political system over into something that works better for Democrats, who are always trying to figure out ways to more effectively rig elections. And,
well,
and
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I think we have to really say, you know, what is actually going on here? And are we supposed to believe this blindly, that our politicians have our best interests at heart? I would have to say no. But
well, that sounds like the same kind of conspiracy theory I'm pushing, which is not a theory at all and not a conspiracy so much as just the way it works.
Yeah, it's not the way it's supposed to be. And, you know, the governor has some very good people around him. I would think, you know, if he wants to inform a message, he should have somebody like Max Reese being much more in front with this stuff. Instead of having Max Reese as a switchboard operator on his call-ins, Max should be forming the message to get people to understand what's going on and be answering questions as to what their plan is. And I think
all right, so we have this. You brought up Ned's campaign commercial at the beginning of our discussion, Kevin Brookman from WeThePeopleHartford.com. And I just want to give everybody a little reminder about that simple little lie that started off Ned's first impression during the campaign for governor. Go ahead, Mike.
So I turned 64 this year, kind of liberating, actually. I'm not running for governor as a stepping stone, not thinking about re-election. I'm not going to take a salary, and I don't need a government car. This one's going to do just fine. Middle class has taken a hit for years. Maybe it's time for your governor to give back as well. I am going to be totally open about what we're doing, and honestly, I can't turn around the state in year one, but you're sure as heck going to know where we're going. I'm Ned Lamont, and I approve this message. I am going to be totally open about what we're doing.
Yeah, right. We do know where the state is going, Kevin. It's going down the tubes really fast.
Quickly, yes. But it's unfortunate.
Oh, that is so funny. He's so open, isn't he?
Yeah, you're going to know exactly where the state's going. You know, unless it involves Boston Consulting or Dalio, and then I may try to keep things secret.
But no, but it demonstrates something important about campaigns and duplicitous politicians, which in particular, I think if you're inexperienced, you would come in and you'd hire consultants and you would just think, okay, whatever they tell me I have to do. But he's run campaigns three times. This is his third campaign. He knows the game, and he knows that's simply a marketing scheme. And when he's shooting that ad, Ned Lamont, he knew perfectly well that nothing he was saying had any truth to it all, and he just shrugged his shoulders and said, that's how we get elected.
Well, unfortunately, you know, I don't want to make this into politics, but people should be asking themselves right now, how is Bob Stefanowski getting his hands on latex gloves for first responders and police and firefighters and healthcare workers when the state of Connecticut can't? What did Bob Stefanowski know, or how does he know how to work the system better than our own governor? It's just
He's a businessman, I guess.
Well, so was
how about the follow-up question? Ned finally, it took him 2 months, he finally bought supposedly 6 million masks. He locks them in a warehouse, won't give them to anybody. What's that all about?
Yeah, well, I don't know. You know, some of this stuff just doesn't make sense. And
Kevin, don't ever say you don't want to make this about politics. Everything is about politics. They make it about politics. What's that?
I'm trying to be politically correct, but it's too bad we've got a pandemic and it has to be run by politics. You know, let's focus on the lives and the lives that are being hurt by people out of work. So,
all right.
Oh, well.
Kevin Brookman, great to talk with you once again. Have a really good weekend. It's WeThePeopleHartford.com, and it's a great blog that keeps up on a street-level kind of vantage point on what's going on in Hartford politics. And it's really fun to have you on and to get to touch base again. I noticed on the blog, by the way, Kevin, it says you've had 5,930,402 page views. Now, is that a Ned number or is that a real number?
That's a real number.
The day
I put that hit counter up, I started at zero, and I didn't inflate it. I didn't put a million hits up. That's the real number. It surprises me when I see it. So.
It is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, thanks for taking the time to talk with us. Have a great weekend.
Okay, you have a great weekend, too. Thanks, Todd.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.